Well, if you turn this evening in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, and as you're turning to Luke 11, I do want to say that it's been a great delight to be here. This church will always be, forever, our church home, and you will be, in some sense, our church family.
You are our home boy.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Luke chapter 11. And I want to read our text this evening, and our text actually is only a part of verse 2 and a part of verse 4. Luke 11, verse 2. So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven.'" Verse 4. "Forgive us our sins." Let's pray together. Our Father, as we do come to worship you through your word, we ask that you would accompany this word with the powerful weight of your Holy Spirit. And thus may your word be effectual to our souls for Jesus' sake. Amen. This morning I spoke to you from Psalm 130 on the subject of forgiveness. This evening I want to continue that theme with the related topic of Christian forgiveness. Simply put, I want to address the potentially knotty question, if Christians are fully and totally forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ, as we learned this morning, then why do Christians need to pray for forgiveness? Thus, my text this evening is actually the first part of verse 2 and the first part of verse 4. Our Father in heaven, forgive us our sins. And I want to suggest two things from it. First, the fact of Christian forgiveness. That is, the fact that Christians need forgiveness. And then secondly, the reasons for Christian forgiveness, or the reasons Christians need to be forgiven. The fact of it, first of all, I want to show you Christians need forgiveness. I want to prove that from this text. And then secondly, I want to suggest three reasons for Christian forgiveness. Notice first the fact of Christian forgiveness. Our Father in heaven, forgive us our sins. Now that this refers to Christians is evident. First, our Savior is teaching his disciples how to pray. So he said to them, verse 2, "When you pray, say." He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to his beloved children. He's speaking to Christians. Secondly, our Savior instructs his disciples to pray, "Our Father in heaven." Who is to say "our Father in heaven" but Christians? We address him as his beloved children. This is a prayer for Christians, for children. Finally, among other things, we are told to pray, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us." Christ would have his beloved people, God's children, pray to him as their Father for forgiveness. Thus, if we had no other text, if we had no other support in the whole of Scripture, we can conclude from this text alone that Christians need forgiveness. Jesus teaches us as Christians to pray to our Heavenly Father for forgiveness. Now, before I go on to the second main head and suggest some reasons why we as Christians need forgiveness, let me remind you of a very important distinction. Now, I think I first read this distinction in these terms in a very helpful book by John MacArthur. And he has a chapter in this book on forgiveness where he makes the distinction between what he calls judicial and parental forgiveness. Judicial forgiveness is what we talked about this morning, and that views God as judge. All Christians are, in this sense, equally and eternally forgiven. No Christian is more forgiven than another Christian, in this sense. In this sense, no Christian needs forgiveness. Every sin, open sins, inward sins, big sins, little sins, secret sins, public sins, all of our sins have been taken away from us as far as the east is from the west and have been dealt with in the person of our surety. Judicial forgiveness. But MacArthur also spoke about what he called, and this is what Jesus is teaching us here in this text, parental forgiveness. In this sense, God is viewed as Father against whom we sin as beloved children. In this sense, Christians need constant, yes, even daily forgiveness. And it's what our Savior here refers to in our text when he says, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, forgive us our sins. This means Christians sin. Christians sin. And so when Christians commit already judicially forgiven sin, because remember, all of our sins are judicially pardoned when we become a Christian. When we become a Christian, all of our sins for the sake of Jesus Christ, past and present, are forgiven judicially. But in time, as Christian, when we commit these judicially forgiven sins, they are nevertheless sins, violation of God's law, and thus we need forgiveness as Christians. We need forgiveness as Christians. Christians need forgiveness. Now, that brings me secondly to the reasons why. And here I want to suggest three reasons Christians need forgiveness, or put another way, suggest you a threefold need or a threefold benefit to parental forgiveness. A threefold benefit to parental forgiveness. Why does Jesus so graciously and so kindly instruct his disciples that when they pray, they are to pray that God's kingdom would come, they are to pray for their daily food, and they are to pray for daily forgiveness? Why? First, to renew intimacy with God. That is, when Christians sin and fail to confess that sin, it hinders the felt sense of God's presence. Now let me clarify. Nothing we as Christians can do can ultimately drive away God's presence from us. God has promised himself that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Nothing we can do as Christians can drive God away from us. But when we sin and fail to deal with it, it can drive a wedge between the felt realization of his presence. God can never love us more than he loves us. But our sins can, if they're not dealt with, hinder the realization of that love in our hearts and souls. Our undealt with sins can drive a wedge between us and the realization of our Father's love. For example, the sun shines throughout the day. It's always there, regardless if we're able to see it or feel it. And yet, throughout that day, especially here in western Michigan, there probably will be clouds that hide the sun from our sensed experience. We may not see it, we may not feel it, but it's there. And this is like God's love. It's always there, shining equally. Nothing can stop God from shining His love and His presence upon His people, but the clouds of unconfessed sin can, for a season, hide the realization of that sun, of that love, of that presence from us. There's a sense in which when we sin and fail to deal with it, Christian, it clouds the face of God. God doesn't go anywhere. He's still there just like the sun is, but He's hidden, as it were, behind the clouds. Now, I have a text for each of these, and I want to illustrate it from them. And the text for this first point is Psalm 51. Look at verse 11. We're looking at three reasons Christians need forgiveness. The first is to renew intimacy. David sinned. We know Psalm 51, right? He sinned. Verse 3, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. He sinned with Bathsheba. He sinned with Uriah. And notice his prayer, verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. You see, David felt as if, he felt as if God's presence had left him. Did God's presence leave him? No, the presence of God was there, just like the sun remains in the sky, even though it's hidden behind a cloud. Take not your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. See, when we sin as Christians and fail to deal with it biblically and swiftly, it robs us of the joy of our salvation. Now, obviously, this text doesn't say that it robs us of our salvation. When Christians sin, they still remain Christians. Erring children are children, nevertheless. God doesn't take away our salvation. But the joy of our salvation will be lessened and will be realized less than it was before we committed these sins. And so when we own our sins and we acknowledge our sins, God is gracious to remove away that wedge that was driven between us as His erring beloved children. Why should Christians confess their sins and seek for forgiveness? Because when we confess our sins and ask for forgiveness, God removes away from us that wedge that was driven between us, and, or perhaps we can put it this way, He blows away the clouds. Brethren, that's why we need forgiveness desperately as Christians. Because I want to know that, I want to know that presence. I want to know that joy. I want to feel on my soul the warmth of His love. And so Jesus tells us when we sin to confess it, acknowledge it, repent from it, find forgiveness for it, and our gracious Father in heaven will blow away the clouds. Renewed intimacy. Secondly, to cleanse our conscience. Sin dirties or defiles the conscience. It leaves the soul feeling guilty, defiled, downcast, weak, and even at times defeated. Again, read through Psalm 51. Read through Psalm 32. Now, this, of course, is true in the fullest sense for sinners. But it remains in part even of Christians or saints. Let me ask you this question, Christian. When you sin as a Christian, do you feel guilty and defiled as the result. When you sin as a Christian, doesn't your conscience trouble you? Well, let me answer for myself, and I assume for you also. Yes, of course I do. And I think I could safely answer for all of us. We all do. And here's the reason. Here's the reason we feel guilty. Here's the reason we feel defiled. Here's the reason why our conscience feels dirtied. Because it is. Not judicially. Remember, all of our sins are pardoned judicially. But nevertheless, when we commit sins as Christians, sin defiles the conscience. And so just as needing a renewed sense of intimacy with God, when we confess our sins, God is pleased for the sake of Christ to forgive us our sin and to cleanse our conscience afresh. Now I have a text here. And that is 1 John 1. Look at verse 6. 1 John 1, 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, continually, ongoingly cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, John is talking to Christians. John is talking to us tonight. If we confess our sins, look at the benefits. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the unrighteousness of a vexed conscience. When we confess our sins and acknowledge our sins to God, He is faithful to His promise. And He's just. Remember this morning I talked about how forgiveness in Christ is just forgiveness. It's a forgiveness that's consistent with all of God's divine perfections. God forgives us in a way that He can be both just and the one who justifies the ungodly. And so forgiveness. Forgiveness is not only the result of His faithfulness to His promise. When He says, if you sin, Christian, come to me and I'll forgive you. That's His faithfulness. But John also says this is the result of His justice, His righteousness. God would be unjust. He would be unrighteous not to forgive us for the sake of Christ when we confess our sins. God is now not only faithful to forgive us, but He's just to forgive us. He's faithful to forgive us in a way that's consistent with all of His perfections. And when He forgives us as Christians, notice, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When I sin, when I speak unkindly to my wife, when I speak rudely to my children, when I sin and I confess that to God and I confess that to them when necessary, He's faithful and He's just to bring to my conscience the fact that Jesus died for my sins, and in that sense, He washes away that unrighteousness and that vexation of spirit and that crippling of conscience. I think that's what it means there in verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. God reminds me. He reminds me that all of my sins for the sake of Jesus Christ judicially have been pardoned. And thus He cleanses my conscience afresh. My friends, Christians desperately need forgiveness. And God graciously has provided forgiveness ongoingly
in Jesus Christ our Lord.
To renew intimacy, to cleanse our conscience, but thirdly, to obtain mercy. Because God loves His children so much, He disciplines them when they sin. He chastens them with a loving, but oftentimes a very heavy rod. Now remember, this fatherly chastisement must ever be distinguished from judicial punishment. In this sense, Christ already bore the rod in our place, judicially. But when Christians commit sin, their Heavenly Father applies the rod out of love. He applies the rod out of love. And at times, this rod is very, very painful. Now, Christian, let me ask you this. When you pray, what is one of the first things you say in your prayer, inevitably? Be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. And what are you asking? You're asking your Heavenly Father to deal with you mercifully and not strictly as your sins, as a Christian, deserve His loving rod. Think of it like this. We as Christians, do you know as a Christian, we deserve the rod of our Father? Loving, correcting, parental, but we deserve it. And we deserve it more than we get it. We deserve it more than we get it. You know, one of the things that always vexed me when my children were younger and they were in that season of time when they were getting 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 spankings each a day. And there was a time in my house when we had 4 children in that time frame, in that space. It felt like that's all we did all day, apply the rod. Next. And one thing that used to trouble my conscience was, I'm spanking them every time they sin, but I sin so frequently. I sin so frequently. And thus, when I pray. You know what I usually pray? This is how my prayer usually starts out. Oh, Father, thank you for this new day. Oh, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. Deal with me not as my sins deserve, as a Christian. I'm not praying to the judge for judicial forgiveness. That's dealt with on the cross. But I am confessing my sins to my Father who loves me. And I'm pleading for mercy. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's say 10 years ago, and I was in that season of time when I was applying the rod almost throughout the day. And let's say 2 of my children got into a fight and I had to discipline them both. They were both equally guilty. And I bring up the first one to the study. The study in my house is in the attic. So they come all the way up to the attic. And the first one comes through those doors and sits down and begins to weep. And she confesses her sins. She says, Daddy, I have no excuse. Don't even discipline my sibling. I deserve it all. I started it. I was guilty. Forgive me. Be merciful to me. Now, it's possible that I might still spank her, but if I did spank her, I would spank her rather lightly. And I may not even spank her at all. I may say, okay, sweetie, you've learned your lesson. You understand what you did was sin. Let us pray to God that he would be merciful to us and forgive us our sins for the sake of His Son. But now let's say the sibling comes up and she's defiant. She comes and she sits down. She's blame shifting. And mind you, they're both equally guilty. I probably in love would apply the rod more sternly to her than I would the first one. And so, too, when we sin, what do? We come up the stairs into the attic of our prayer closet and we ask our Father, Oh, Father,
Now, we're submissive. We're not trying to be, manipulate him. Sometimes the kids would have tried, you
think of it like this. If one of them comes up there and she owns her sins and then she gets a rather light discipline, she might try that the next time. And the next time I may have to apply the rod more sternly. So we're not trying to manipulate God. We're just owning our sins. We're confessing our sins to our Father. And we're pleading, oh God, be merciful to me. Don't discipline me as I deserve.
You know what? I really think most Christians don't realize how much they deserve the heavy, loving rod of their Father.
And that's why when we pray, brethren, what do we pray? Oh, be merciful to me. Be merciful to my household. Be merciful to the church. Be merciful to us. Let me illustrate it very quickly. Look at Psalm 6. And notice verse 1. Psalm 6, verse 1. O Lord, do not rebuke me. Now, let me suggest that these are the words of David, a Christian, and he's up in the attic, if you will, and he's pleading before his Father. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Now, let me just stop there for a second. Let me suggest to you that by anger and hot displeasure are not meant God's judicial wrath. But this is his loving, yet firm and just, fatherly displeasure. Right? It's not wrong for a father to show a righteous, loving anger towards his children. And I think this is what God is doing. Look at verse 2. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? O God, I confess my iniquity. I confess my sins. I did it. Yes, I started the confrontation. I'm the one deserving the rod. And I have no excuse. I'm not trying to justify myself. I'm not trying to hide my sins. I'm not making excuses. I'm simply owning my sins before you, my loving Father, and pleading and praying for the sake of the Lord Jesus, that you would be merciful to me, your child. Dear Christian friend, you and I need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. And God is gracious to give it. Now, I have a few minutes. Let me close with a couple of thoughts about confession. Remember, God doesn't forgive sin without that sin being confessed, owned, and acknowledged. Remember, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to own, acknowledge, or confess our sins. And let me say, first of all, we have to confess our sins individually. That is, quickly and specifically, as soon as we sin, own it and seek forgiveness. And this, at times, is difficult to do, isn't it? Especially if that sin is something that you've committed against your wife or one of your children. You got into a little confrontation with your wife or one of your children, and you said things that were wrong, or you said things that were right in a wrong spirit, and you know it. Brethren, how many times have I gone up to my study, having done that, sat at my desk, and tried to write sermons with a bloodied and guilty conscience? Because I'm too proud to acknowledge my sins speedily. I have to stop and I have to say, oh God, be merciful to me.
I've sinned against my wife, I've sinned against my daughter, I've sinned against my son, and I've sinned against you. Confess your sins individually. Secondly, confess your sins collectively. By this I mean we must daily own our sins in a collective or broad sense. It's nearly impossible to know all of our sins that we commit through the day. So when you sin, and you know you've sinned, own it as quickly as possible, confess it, and find forgiveness for it. Find forgiveness for it. But throughout the day, we ought to pray generically, "Oh God, forgive me of my sins, even those sins that I'm not knowledgeable of, those little sins or those sins that I commit throughout the day, largely sins of omission." Remember, we talked about that this morning, omitting my duty to God and my family. Confess your sins individually. Confess your sins collectively. Thirdly, confess your sins remorsefully. Own them humbly and with deep contrition. My friends, we have to remember that sin is sin. And while we have the blessed promise that none of my sins will ever, ever condemn me eternally, surely that doesn't in any way lessen the reality that when we sin, we sin. Sometimes I really wonder. Sometimes I think the sins that I've committed after being a Christian are so doubly serious. I sin against so much light. I sin against so much knowledge. I sin against so much love. Confess your sins, finally, believingly. And by this I mean we must confess our sins looking afresh to Christ and His blood. Remember this morning I talked about being on the bottom of the ocean floor. And all of that water over us. We're in the depths. And do you remember I sought to urge you to look through all that water and see a cross? But you know what's next to the cross? There's an empty tomb. And next to the empty tomb, there's a glorious throne with the victorious Lord Jesus sitting upon it. All my sins are atoned for. And that one who died for my sins rose again for my justification on the third day. And He now pleads the merit. He pleads the merit of that blood before His Father. And He's coming back to get me. It kind of almost wants us to sin that we might find forgiveness. It's such a wonderful thing, forgiveness. But let us put it this way. Let us not sin as Christians. But when we do sin, let us acknowledge our sins, let us repent from our sins, and God will, for the sake of Jesus Christ, renew that intimacy, cleanse our conscience, and grant us mercy.